This week on Art in the Air, our whole show features herbalist, author, professor, and nutrition consultant Birgit Mars, who shares her passion for natural health for over 60 years through her books, lectures, and classes. Our spotlights on Lakeside Artists Guild Free 5 Concert Series presented at Cedar Lake Town Grounds this summer with founder Andy Anderson.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight the Lakeside Artists Guild, and they have a whole series of concerts and of other events. And we have Andy Anderson, who's one of the founding members of the group, and he'll tell us a little briefly about concerts. They're all free, 6:30 right there in Cedar Lake, and tell you everything that's going on. Andy, welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thanks, Larry. It's really nice to be here. Our organization, this is our fifth year of existence and our fourth summer season that we're doing. We produce 5 concerts at the lakefront in Cedar Lake on the town grounds there. It's, I think, of the concerts, the places that you can go see a concert in the summer, I think it's probably the most beautiful place to watch a sunset in Northwest Indiana and maybe anywhere. It's really wonderful. And we produce 5 free concerts. You can bring your wine, you can bring your drinks, your family, your friends. It is a family-friendly event. And you can really just breathe in everything that there is to have in Northwest Indiana and the region's best artists coming to that stage.
Andy, how do you determine the different dates? Because sometimes they're Sundays, sometimes they're Thursdays, Saturdays.
I'm probably the biggest problem because I also perform with the Grant Park Music Festival in Chicago. And so my only availability in the summer is usually Thursday and Sunday. And Monday, I could do Monday, but nobody really wants to go to a concert on Monday for some reason. And so I try to put these into the holes in my schedule. And I have a lot of people, we have a lot of people for whom Sundays aren't a good day to go to a concert. And so they'd rather go to the Thursdays. And then we have a lot of people that don't mind coming on a Thursday night and a lot of people who just love Sunday. And this year, our very first concert, which if you're hearing this, you just missed, it was June 7th. And it was Love Stories, and we did a whole bunch of stuff about Romeo and Juliet. We did some West Side Story things. We did some amazing stuff from Carmen with a guest soloist, Ola Raffalo. So if you missed that, I'm really sorry. It's an amazing show. The next show we have coming up is Sunday, June 22nd, and that's European Dances. And so we're going to basically take you on a tour through Europe as if you were a person who loves dance, which we hope you are. And then the last 3 concerts we have Thursday, July 17th is going to be the Blue Holler Band with the Winnemac Bluegrass Consortium. And if you like swing dancing, the last Sunday in July, July 27th, Doug Horn and the Rhythm Makers is a swing band, and there's swing dance lessons before it. Some of our string players are going to be filling out the swing band, so it'll be a really, real great experience. Our final concert is August 7th, and that's called A Midsummer Night's Dream, but it's not the actual Shakespeare story. We're basically creating our own, all the things that make A Midsummer Night magical, and we're putting that on that concert.
Can you give us a hint of what one piece of music might be?
We will have pieces from Mendelssohn, A Midsummer Night's Dream, right. But there will be so Fly Me to the Moon.
All right, good.
So it'll span a lot of different genres. And so we try to do that with most of our concerts where, you know, you'll get some people who are, you know, just avid classical music fans. And then you get some people who really stumbled upon classical music through another medium, like bluegrass or crossover music, or they'll hear a fiddle player and they'll, oh, what else can the fiddle do? And then they'll discover that there's this great long history of us performing, you know, since the 1700s and before even. And so we like to give people a taste of all the things that our string group can do. And then we like to augment it with the summer season with other groups doing jazz and bluegrass band and stuff like that. So
you also have another project going on. It's the Chamber Orchestra Camp. Tell us a little bit about that. That's your fourth annual camp.
Absolutely. That's right. We've had a really great time building this organization. We run an academy. And the academy started out with maybe 20 kids in it. And this last year we had right around 100. And we have three different orchestras, two different choirs, two levels. And we try to teach them the things that every performer should know. And we started out with strings. And so we were trying to make sure that when someone went through our program, by the time they were done, all the main string tunes that you can think of, they would have had some experience with, or at least have been equipped to be able to play them well and with an informed style. And we also teach composition and theory. But this is actually at the end of the year. This is This is a chance for people to come and get a taste of what our academy is like. We have really world-class, top-shelf Chicago area performers who come in and work with the kids and teach them about the joy of making music with smaller ensembles. We teach them skills to work within an ensemble. And of course, we teach them the skills on how to play their own instrument. And it's a really great vibe. We love learning, and we think we have a way of contagiously infecting people with that love of learning.
Well, that's great. You know, about final minute here, let us know about how people can find out about the concerts. Obviously, there's no tickets involved, so you do that, but like your online presence and any more about even the academy itself.
The best place to find all of our information is at lakeconcerts.com. We originally had a really confusing, it was basically our entire Lakeside Artists Guild, and it was just too many syllables, too many words. So lakeconcerts.com is the place to find us. There will be tabs there, lakeconcerts.com. You can find the button. We are a 501c3, so if people want to support us and help us produce it, we're still looking for people to help us fund some of our artists we're bringing in. So if you happen to want to get behind what we're doing, go to lakeconcerts.com and make a donation, and we're happy to acknowledge that donation.
That's great. Well, that's Andy Anderson from Lake Concerts. Side summer concert series started on June 7th, but they have concerts all the way through August 7th. You can find that at lakeconcerts.com. Andy, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air Spotlight and sharing.
Thank you so much for the update.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Lakeshore Public Media is brought to you by Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts.
This is Bethy Lovelight, and I'm a star rockin' musician, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We are delighted to welcome Brigitte Mars to Art on the Air. Brigitte is an herbalist, author of over 14 books, professor, and nutritional consultant with more than 60 years of experience. She is also a psychedelic sitter and end-of-life doula. She teaches herbal medicine at Naropa University in Boulder, Colorado, and many other esteemed institutions, including the Mayo Clinic. She is a founding member of the American Herbalist Guild and has a private practice, leads herb walks, and has a weekly radio show called Naturally. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Brigitte. It's a pleasure meeting you.
It is my pleasure and honor, Larry and Esther. Thank you for having me.
Well, Brigitte, like we always like to start with our guests, we like to know their background story. I call it their origin story. So please tell us about how Brigitte got from where she is to where she is now.
Okay, let's see. I had this wonderful French-Canadian grandmother, and it was a little village north of Quebec. And going to visit my grand-mère, as we say in French, was like going back 100 years. She was very into folk remedies. Her idea of ice cream was to put maple syrup on snow. She made soap in a cauldron. And I didn't really know what it was she did, but somehow that gave me the idea as a child that I want to be a healer. Maybe not a doctor, but I wanted to help people with these, you know, garlic and lemon and apple cider vinegar, all these like folk remedies. And I went to an all-girls boarding school, Miss Hall's School for Young Ladies, and I had a drawer full of herbal remedies, and I would just try things out on my classmates, like, oh, what's good for cramps or memory or help you sleep? I was expelled for some of the herbs in my drawer eventually, but that's another story. I lived in the Virgin Islands, helped open up a natural foods restaurant. I had a vegetarian restaurant in Miami for a couple years called The Supernatural. When crime got so intense there, we sold the restaurant. I lived in a teepee for 2.5 years, pretty much on wild edible plants in the Ozarks in Missouri. And that was a great teacher because, you know, like a couple hundred years ago, people didn't get all their food from the store. It came from outside. And
yeah, those mushrooms didn't come pre-chopped or those onions.
No. So I love the idea. We still eat a lot of wild food. I went to Boulder College of Massage Therapy many years ago, and I was the herbalist for a really wonderful herb store or health food store called Alfalfa's Market. I've also been the herbalist for a holistic pharmacy called Pharmica, which now has kind of morphed into Alive and Well. But, you know, writing all those books, there's actually 18 books by now, that has all been like a in-depth dive into all the topics that I've written about, whether it be dandelions or nettles or mental health or sexual vitality or natural first aid. I'm also a mother and grandmother. So, you know, experimenting on my kids and grandkids also added a whole nother dimension to natural medicine. Because if it wasn't working, I certainly wasn't going to let my kids perish. I was going to get proper medical attention. But the thing is, the herbs always worked. So right. I am here in Boulder, Colorado, and all the things that you said, you know, I teach, I lead walks, I have a phone app called iPlant, and it feels really wonderful to be able to wake up in the morning and feel like I get to help the planet, I get to help the pollinators, I get to help people with natural remedies. These things are beneficial, good for the earth, save water, save time, save money, and you know, when people say that natural medicine hasn't been scientifically tested or something, I like to say, well, I'm pretty much using remedies that have been used by millions of people for thousands of years. And I feel pretty good about that.
Going back to Canada, it sounded like you were smack dab in your own fairy tale with your grandmother with the cauldron. And actually, that's how we had ice cream, too, is throwing maple syrup and snow or like the original snow cone. Right. So did you? And so it does relate to what you have done. So when did you first feel the impact of that time? Because she's sort of teaching you herbology and different things when you're, what, like you said, four years old?
Or 3, 4. And, you know, I grew up in upstate New York, so my parents did their best to provide, you know, the best modern medical care. As a teenager, I had acne and I went to dermatologists, and it was really like, try this drug, try that drug. You know, and a lot of times their dietary suggestions were part of the problem, like drink a glass of milk every day or with every meal. Like, well, that doesn't work for everybody. So I think when I got to boarding school and I was really just trying stuff out on my friends and seeing, I know maybe I'm just a kid, maybe I'm only 15, but these remedies have been in the collective consciousness for thousands of years. And I'm going to see if smelling rosemary oil really helps your memory, or if calcium magnesium can really help cramps, or if peppermint tea can help your digestion. And so I just keep getting more and more inspired. But you're right, Esther, it was like a fairy tale. It was very much like going back in time. And of course, fairy tales are resplendent with, you know, bring me the magic potion or bring me the golden apple. So I was always really interested in that. And then to think that there is food and medicine that comes from the earth that doesn't necessarily come from the store that is available. And these medicines are beautiful. I mean, when you think of echinacea, what a beautiful flower. When you think of, you know, yarrow tea. And so my inspiration just continues to grow. And during the years when I lived in the teepee in the Ozarks, I would go to the library and ask the local librarian, like, how do I learn about country ways? You know, I seem really cut off from that. And she suggested the Yule Gibbons books. He wrote a number of books like Stalking the Wild Asparagus, Stalking the Healthful Herb. And so I would take those books out and then proceed to identify that there was comfrey and roses and elderberries and raspberries growing. And, you know, the Crosby, Stills, and Nash song years ago, we got to get back to the land. I mean, that was a really big drive because in the early 70s, there was not a lot of organic food available. We really needed to get land and start growing things the way that we wanted to grow them. So that's what we did. And that still is a good idea. And I think a lot of people right now are looking at how expensive food is, how expensive healthcare is. And I'm really trying to give people some ideas so that they can be their primary health caregivers. And, you know, primary, like everything else is secondary and tertiary. So again, it's not us and them, but there are things we can do. And when someone has an ailment, rather than starting with drugs or starting with surgery, maybe there's something you can do with your diet or with some herbs or some supplements or some lifestyle change that might bring about better health. And the beautiful thing is that these things usually are so good for your health that you just feel better. It's not like you just masked the symptoms. It's like you really did get stronger. You really did improve your energy or your liver health, or you lifted the brain fog that was happening. So
I have a question, because you've learned a lot of it through books, but did you have like a physical mentor who could point out that this maybe looks like this, but this one's poisonous and this one's good for you, like when you're out on walks?
Absolutely. Well, I did have many teachers along the way. So when I moved to Boulder, I met the late, great William LaSaucier. And even though I was in massage school and a young mother, I would go sit at William LaSaucier's feet in the evening and listen to his discourse. And when I worked at the health food store, Alfalfa's Market, I had a wonderful platform to bring every herbalist that I wanted to study with to Colorado and have them stay with me. So I brought Rosemary Gladstar and Susan Weed and David Hoffman and Christopher Hobbs and Michael Tierra. Also working in a retail store, I know it sounds like not such a big deal, but it was also an opportunity to sell people a product. And then I would always say, well, let me know how this works for you. And then when they come back a week later and say, hey, that really helped my allergies, that really helped my kids' insomnia, that really helped my digestive issues, I just kept going with it. And So I did have teachers, and when I decided that I was going to lead my own herb walks, I had actually gone on somebody else's herb walk, and I noticed that they had quite a few of the plants wrong, and I said, well, I need to start doing this myself. And, you know, I've heard that the average American recognizes over 1,000 logos and the products they're associated with. Like, they know what the Jack in the Box and the, you know,
The Nike whoosh.
They know what that means. And yet most people don't recognize five plants in their area. Maybe they know dandelions and roses. And right. They think the dandelions are the enemy, that they need to go and get pesticides. And, you know, I'm a champion for the dandelions. I want to say, you know, this past week we've eaten dandelion quiche, dandelion spanakopita. I made a dandelion coffee cake this morning, dandelion pesto.
Dandelion rooti right in here.
I love it. And you know, another thing we did was we took the dandelion stems and boil them in water and turn them into noodles, like dandelion noodles. And the dandelions aerate the soil, and they're one of the first foods for the bees in the springtime. So I am going to keep talking about this for the rest of my life, because I can't believe that when we have so much social media available to us and people still think it's intelligent to spray pesticides on the earth, and that the dandelions are public enemy number one, that is like so obtuse. So I'm just going to keep using my voice. I did write a little book called Dandelion Medicine. It's like everything you can do, recipes, remedies, potions with dandelions. So, and think about, like, I know we save thousands of dollars a year when we make our lawns into an edible garden. I actually have an article online. It's called Get Off Your Grass and Create an Edible Lawn. And another travesty is America is currently using a third of its nation's water supply to water grass. Well, you know, again, I have nothing against grass, but then people will drive to the store to go buy gasoline to mow down the crop that they've worked so hard to grow. And then they just throw it away. Like, yeah, we need to do better, planet Earth. I'm calling upon all of you to wake up and smell the dandelions.
So do you know whether your two girls, do they with your grandchildren, do they follow a lot of the practices they grew up with?
Well, I have two daughters, and their names are, can tell what generation I was born in, Sunflower Sparkle Mars and a Rainbow Harmony Mars. So Sunflower did go to herb school, and she is a preschool teacher with a school that's won like a gardening award. So she does a lot of herbal activities with the kids. And then my daughter Rainbow Mars wrote a book called The 21 Day Superstar Cleanse. And she had great fame and fortune as the face of Adidas. She was a model for them and went around the world. And you know, she gardens everywhere. She was just featured on Good Morning Los Angeles because she creates edible lawns wherever she is. She's gotten her whole neighborhood in Venice, California, to create edible lawns. So, yeah, they are really doing it. And my grandchildren, yes, they use natural remedies and they call me when they need help. The 16-year-old, not so much right now. I'm a little weird for her, but, you know, as soon as it
it'll come
time,
around.
Yeah.
Does it work in partnership, though? You don't completely reject medicine, but that's like your first choice. But there are situations or things that otherwise you might have to go to a pharmaceutical kind of choices. I mean, you don't completely reject that, do you?
No, I don't reject it, although I haven't really needed it. But I don't reject it. If what I was doing, you know, believe me, if you were in a car accident, you would be so grateful for the wonderful medical care that was available. You might use herbs to help heal your bones more quickly or nourish yourself so that you do make a full recovery. But no, I think the best is yet to come when we put our heads and hearts together and use all the resources that are available to us.
What was your first book that you put out? And you know, I know you've written quite a few, but tell us about the evolution of saying, I need to put this down into in a book form. And so how did that evolve?
Well, I had just come in from harvesting elderberries, And I got a phone call from Basic Health Media saying, would you like to write a book on elderberries? So my first book was called Elder, Small Tree, Big Medicine. And there's actually been a lot of research on elderberries. That book went out of print. It was just a little booklet, you know, maybe like 50 pages or something like that. But it was recipes, remedies. And, you know, I learned from when my children were growing up, I wrote magazine articles. And I figured, well, if you can write a magazine article, you can write a book. And sometimes you just have to start organizing your information. And, you know, this is really an opportunity for a deep dive. And I've planted 2 elder trees this year, so I still love that plant very much. And yeah, writing, it's, you know, I can't say it gets you rich, but it is such an opportunity to really research your subject and know it really well. And then hopefully you get great speaking gigs, which I seem to all around the world. And, you know, you do it for the highest good. And but that was the first book. And my latest book is called Nettle Power. It's all about an herb that you might know that stings you. Nettles, stinging nettles, like amazing, amazing plant. If I were going to another planet, you can be sure I would bring dandelion and nettles with me.
And maybe some elderberries.
Yeah.
And garlic.
Yeah, maybe cannabis too, because we could, you know, make rope and buildings and oil and plastics and fiber and sandals. So those are, you know, I like plants that have multiple purposes that we can really do many things with that grow easily.
So, Brigitte, are you comfortable talking about teepee time in the Ozarks, what
Surely.
That was like and how that came about? And it sounds so immersive.
Well, back then in the early 70s, land was very cheap. So we bought, I think, 200 acres for about $40,000 back then. And it's still there. My first husband, who's still a very dear friend, lives there. But I remember the idea, we're going to get back to the land. So there were probably 21 of us at different times living in teepees and tree houses and Volkswagen vans and little trailers. There was an old farmhouse. And, you know, it was definitely an exercise in how are we going to make this fly? How, you know, planting fruit trees, what can we grow? What is going to thrive here?
And what's going to sustain our bodies?
Yes. And, you know, it was a lot of work. So anybody who thinks, oh, that sounds so cool, that sounds so laid back, I want to say that when you have to go and fetch water, when you, you know, don't have electricity, you can't run a sewing machine, you can't run a blender, like you learn to do things the way our ancestors did. And I feel very blessed that I know how to do all these things, like sew without a machine, dehydrate food without a dehydrator. We dehydrated food to preserve it for the winter on a big black trampoline covered with lace. You know, we didn't have a telephone. And believe me, I live downtown right now. I love ChatGPT. I'm really, you know, I love all the social media opportunities. So it's not like I'm saying we need to go back. And I think there's a, you know, the age of Aquarius is really about using the ancient wisdom, the best of it, and then combining it with what's new and modern and available. And so I think that we're really being called, like, how can we embrace all the modern technology and still be respectful to the earth and plant things and help oxygenate our planet and curb the atrocities and pollutions that are occurring? Like, how can we make this fly? So, and why did I leave the teepee? Well, you know, I still have gone back, and I hope to go back again this summer. Not that the teepee is still there, but I think the wood poles are still there. But I'll probably stay in the farmhouse. My first husband is still there, and with his new girlfriend. And, you know, I think all of those values of, like, we can work together. We want to make a better world. And let's work together and try to figure this out.
Did you have either of the girls at that point?
Well, Rainbow was born in the teepee.
In the teepee?
Mm-hmm. She was. She likes to say She was born in a teepee under a double rainbow, and I was going to name my child Rainbow before conception. So seeing the double rainbow was like a real affirmation that it was going to be okay.
So sweet.
So you do a lot of teaching engagements or speaking engagements. Take us through a scenario about that, you know, for your audience. Like, do you have a specific target, like speech, or is it a general thing? Or, you know, you can say, okay, you're going to be invited to such and such. You know, how do you adjust what you're going to speak about?
Well, I have probably 35 different classes that I teach. And so I've taught at Naropa University for the past 4 years. It's a university founded by a Buddhist spiritual teacher, Chogyam Trungpa. And it's, you know, quite an interesting school. I'm really proud to be part of it. But every week I offer a different class. So there's topics like the history of herbal medicine, food is medicine, aromatherapy, color therapy, feng shui. And you might say, like, what does that have to do with healing or herbs? But, you know, healing for your living space, you know, a cluttered living space might also contribute to feeling overwhelmed or being overweight or feeling toxic because your living space is toxic. So I do a class on psychedelic plants, one on, natural remedies for mental and emotional health. Which is also the title of one of my latest books, Natural Remedies for Mental and Emotional Health. And so that's one class that I do. I love teaching there. But one thing that's very dear to my heart is every Wednesday night, I teach a class here in my living room. And right now I have about 15 students, including I'm very pleased to have a doctor in the class. I've had lots of nurses in the class that get continuing education. And so not only do I do a class like the history of herbal medicine or natural first aid, but we also make things. So we make pesto, we make dandelion cookies, we make herbal tea, we make tinctures, we might make a salve, which is kind of messy. I hope they don't ask me to make a salve this semester, but if I have to, I will, just because it has a lot of beeswax in it. So it's very experiential, and we go out and we harvest things. Let's make sauerkraut. We learn to make yogurt. So it's a lot of practical life skills. But again, I do a lot of classes on Zoom. I just met this morning. I'm also an end-of-life doula. So I help people who are making their exit out of here. And so we were just preparing a syllabus for possible classes for people at the end of their life, natural remedies for pain, anxiety, grief, bereavement.
Do you have a book on that, Brigitte?
No, I'd say my mental health book, but I do have a class on that, and maybe there will be a book eventually, but I don't. But I am a part of the staff at the Conscious Dying Collective, so probably have a few more books in me.
Well, we'll return to our guest today on Art of the Air, Brigitte Mars, on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM. Art of the Air listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. And we return to our guest today, Brigitte Mars, on Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media and WVLP.
Because I think it's such an important thing, Brigitte, to talk about and to be comfortable with. Because I know that it was something that my father would not even address, and it was just so frustrating not to know what his desires were.
So I do teach a class called Dying with More Grace and Ease. So I don't have a book on it yet, but I hear your frustration, because you could be at someone's death bedside and they don't want to talk about it. And so it's going to be a lot easier to deal with some of the big decisions. And it's really so much more kind and helpful to your family members if you can organize your reality clean, let them know where your passwords are. And what do you want? Do you want to be buried or cremated? Do you want any spiritual tradition for your memorial? Who do you want to speak? Do you want any songs, even things like, do you want to be resuscitated? Like having advanced directives is so important. And so important. an end of life doula helps to get the conversation going and is an advocate for the client and the family so that their wishes are heard. Because, you know, you might have the doctor saying, no, we got to plug them in, you know, force feed them through a tube. And maybe the person saying, look, you know, like I'm 99, I'm like ready to go. But you know, you might be kept here longer than you need to. And it can also become quite a burden for all the caregivers, you know, when it takes like, you know, several people to wash you and feed you and, you know, help you use the toilet and all of that. So I feel really blessed. I was very involved in the home birth movement. And now I feel at this stage in my life, how I can be an advocate to say, you know, you can write your own obituary. You don't want to wait until you're on a morphine drip to start making plans. Like, do this now. So one of the things we learned at the Conscious Dying Collective is, what if you had 3 months to live? What would you need to do? Why not do that stuff now? So that when you are in your last stages,
You can just relax into it.
You can relax into it. You can, you know, get spiritual. But rather than like, oh, you know, I need to like clean stuff up, I need to delegate, then when I'm cleaning, put a little sign under the vase or something to say Ming Dynasty so that it doesn't end up on the antique roadshow that you donated that to Goodwill and it's worth a fortune. So, you know, do these things now. And really, you know, when people are wanting to have a natural childbirth, they're going to drink the herbal tea. They're going to take prenatal yoga. They're going to take a class on hypnobirthing or Lamaze breathing or whatever it is that's trendy right now. But we want to give that same respect to the end of our life. And again, sometimes people are so uncomfortable talking about it, but usually I meet with the person who's dying as well as their family and just say, you know, who do you need to forgive? What do you need to do? And let's get going with this so that you can die in peace rather than be in turmoil because you haven't, you've left so much unfinished business. And we don't always know when the end is coming because right. Every time we get in a car, it could be precarious.
Well, that is true. But it's such a beautiful circle because so many people use doulas for that home birth, and to complete that circle and have the support of a doula end of life is lovely.
So is there something in life that you have yet to do? You've lived a very full life with a variety of experiences, but there's something in life that you have wanted to do that you have not done yet.
Well, I really encourage people when they get to be middle age, like, you know, maybe 50 or something, like make a list of all the things that you haven't done yet that you still want to do. It's like, you know, your bucket list. So I am writing a racy 60s memoir and I really want to get that published and it's not done yet. So I want to show, you know, I want to talk about the teepee life and the raising these little, you know, flower children's children and, you know, talk about all the things, the wild adventures that we had in those days and all
that. I know the 60s and 70s were pretty great. So it would be, it must be nice to be thinking about them. Are you writing this now?
Well, it's already written and I'm actually doing it as an audiobook first. So it's really fun. And, you know, I kind of say, like, I get to do the 60s and 70s over again because I'm 72. But I also have interspersed in this book a lot of the herbal remedies and the things like, what did I do when I got bit by a copperhead snake? And what about, you know, all the big life adventures when...
So what did you do?
well, interestingly enough, when I got bit by the copperhead snake, my husband... who I'm still friends with, sucked the venom out with a shop vac.
Well, that's really smart.
That was really smart. And then I finally, like one of my books said, the Native Americans, or, you know, used the herb echinacea. And there was echinacea growing right where the snake was. So it's interesting. Very often in herbal medicine, the plant that you need is right there where the problem occurred. Like if you have poison ivy, there's usually a remedy growing within 100 feet of it, whether it be, you know, jewelweed or mugwort or plantain or grindelia. So, yeah, the plants are amazing. They are survivors. And so I'm such a big advocate that if we want to adapt to all the things that are happening in our climate and culture, whether it be, you know, radiation or pollution or chemicals in our water, like the plants continually adapt. And I feel that we can gain amazing virtue from eating something like the dandelion that grows under very, very adverse conditions. It survives the drought, it survives the lawnmower, survives our polluted cities, could be growing right next to a cell phone tower. They adapt. Well, and I feel that that can be imparted to us.
Well, they're also, I mean, they're also irresistible. Who doesn't want to pick them and spread those seeds by blowing on the puff, you know? So they come with the natural cuteness.
I'm with you, Esther. Absolutely. And they aerate the soil. Okay, wake up, America. Stop spraying the dandelions. You are doing Mother Nature wrong, and she's not happy.
So some of the topics here, your books address, like mental and emotional health, and that you have herbal remedies. Tell us about some of the herbal remedies you have for those mental health and emotional health.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say that my book, Natural Remedies for Mental and Emotional Health, addresses topics like depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, pain, insomnia. And so I like to look at the causes of it. So rather than just pile a remedy like, oh, just take St. John's wort, I might say, oh, you're depressed. Have you thought about that maybe you're eating a food that is contributing to brain inflammation? Because I do think a lot of times people are very attracted to eating things that they're allergic to, and that can cause inflammation in the body. We also need to look at that a lot of our neurotransmitters are made in our gut microbiome. So if people are overusing antibiotics or eating even like animal products like milk, meat, eggs, where the animals are treated with antibiotics, that could be also upsetting our gut microbiome and then disturbing some of our neurotransmitters like, serotonin, for example. So I encourage people like, try eating all the colors of the rainbow. Also in Asian medicine, I draw a lot from the principles of Asian medicine that rather than thinking, oh, you're depressed, you must have a deficiency in Prozac, okay, or Zoloft or something. I'm going to say, according to the principles of Asian medicine, when we have depression, we should look at the health of our liver. Mm-hmm, because our liver helps to clean the blood. Yeah, again, yes, Esther. Mm-hmm. And dandelion is a wonderful remedy for getting rid of old stored emotions out mm-hmm. of the liver. And so there's this almost like this disconnect in our culture that we see the body and the mind as separate, yet we know that the mental body can affect the physical body. We need to realize that the physical body can affect the mental body. So with depression, we want to say, well, you know, the liver likes a little bit of sour. So how about drinking some lemon and water in the morning before that cup of coffee? How about eating a green salad every day with maybe even some of your wild greens like dandelion greens or arugula or kale? But it could also be dandelions and chickweed and malva. And of course, there are herbs to help. St. John's wort is one of the herbs that's helpful for mild to moderate depression. Lemon balm, even smelling lavender can affect your consciousness.
Rescue remedy. Helps.
Yes, yeah. And that's a great one. I always say don't leave home without it when it comes to rescue remedy.
It's so true.
So,
but then also to support that too is like creativity. And even though sometimes when you're in a depression, it is the last thing you want to do is to maybe do something, but really it just... to create something, whether it's a poem or a drawing or weaving grass together, I don't know. It really does support lifting the mood.
Absolutely, Esther. And, you know, you're so right on. According to Asian medicine, depression is associated with the emotions of anger and depression, and creativity is the remedy for anger and depression. And, you know, we could say obsessive compulsive disorder. I don't know if enough doctors are asking, what's your relationship with sweets? You know, if you're eating, you know, a cup of sugar a day because it's hidden in your sodas and your cake and your coffee and your cookies and all that, like that could be affecting your brain chemistry, where your blood sugar is going up and down like a roller coaster. You know, anxiety. We could even look at things like, well, you play really fast music that's faster than your heart rate. So that's kind of creating, you know, this like pitter-patter racing thing. And we should look at that sugar and caffeine tend to make us more anxious. And things that are rich in calcium and magnesium can help us to feel calmer. But even, you know, the colors that we choose to wear, the colors that we decorate with, our association with full spectrum light. Light enters our eyes and it affects our hormones and our moods. You know, so get a little full spectrum light every day. That we do know that some people are more subject to depression when they're in, you know, in a dark space. They go to work in the dark. They work under fluorescent lighting. They come home in the dark. So there's all these really simple techniques you can do. You know, what foods are going to help prevent us from having dementia as we get older? Like, whoa, that's like everybody's big fear. And we should look at what am I doing to build brain health as I age? Are we harming our brain health because we're still using aluminum cookware? Or we're wrapping our baked potatoes and fish in aluminum foil? Aluminum is a very soft metal. Are we using aluminum in our deodorant or a non-dairy coffee creamer? And can we build brain health by eating more mineral-dense foods, like black-colored foods, like wild rice and black beans and chia seeds? So, you know, natural medicine is for people that are motivated. I think a lot of people just like, just give me a pill. I don't want to change anything. But, you know, if you're open, if you're game, if you want to experience better health and more energy and better sex and, you know, more joy and happiness, like, you can partake in it. It's not just a pill. So even though I'm big on herbs and supplements, I really do think that there's really simple things you can do. Sometimes I see people like they're so depressed. I say, you know, every time I see you, you're wearing gray. Like, you know, there's things you can do. Like I'm wearing a pink shirt today. It's very vibrant and joyous. So colors are also medicine.
You're listening to our guest today on Art in the Air and talking about herbal medicine, I think, Brigitte Mars, and you're on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
So, Brigitte, is there an off-the-top-of-your-head thing that you would suggest for blood sugar? Because I think that that's, I mean, that causes so much shifting of moods throughout the day.
Surely. Thank you for your question, Esther. So, you know, people think, well, sugar's bad for blood sugar, but we should look at that when you drink orange juice for breakfast, you're just getting the sugar rather than the fiber. You'd be better off eating an orange or eating an apple rather than drinking a glass of juice. So that's going to be helpful. And then we need to look at the grains that we're eating. There's a saying in the natural foods industry, the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. But like even switching, like could you use, you know, blue cornmeal? Could you use more whole grains? I know that our culture is really big on white flour products, you know, bagels, muffins, croissants, French toast, pancakes, cookies, burritos, like a lot of white flour products. Could we replace some of those with grains like quinoa, which is technically a seed, not a grain, but buckwheat, which is also technically a seed. But, you know, could we do black rice? Could we try millet, which is gluten-free and very alkalinizing? So to unplug from letting white flour products be the sustenance that we so often rely on. And the herb cinnamon has been found to stabilize blood sugar. Also the herb fenugreek. So I, you know, one of the books I've written is called Addiction Free Naturally. And I do think that so many addictions have their roots in the roller coaster of blood sugar. You know, people, you know, do coffee in the morning to zip it up. And then at the end of the day, they're so wired from all the sugar and caffeine they ate, which is in sodas, and then they have to take things to help them sleep at night. So
it's very much a balancing act, because everything will turn to sugar. It's just how fast it happens, mm-hmm. I think, right? Is that...
It's true. And so when we eat an apple, yes, there's still sugar in it. But when you drink a glass of apple juice, you're just getting the sweetness, and the fiber isn't there to slow down that assimilation.
Also, the type of sugar you get, refined sugar, hits much harder than like the fructoses and the I'll call them the lower level sugar, the lower hydrocarbons that are in those types of sugars.
Yeah, they're not all created equal, you know, and I think there's a big difference between, you know, we do use honey and maple syrup, and I use coconut sugar. But again, our obsession, we need to remember that sweet is not the only flavor. And basically, we've turned sugar into a drug. It's a white, refined, crystalline powder, much like cocaine and heroin, and probably just as addicting.
It's true. You know, something I heard, and I think it was like 10 years ago, and things like this happen all the time. You know, they'll say choose brown rice over white rice. But then there was this whole big thing like the arsenic in the brown rice. And so you really should be eating white rice. What is the validity in any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing that controversy as well. We use a lot of black rice and wild rice. And I've heard that the white rice is easier to digest. But, you know, the white rice started out as brown, and then they polished off the outer coating, which is where the B vitamins and the fiber is. So I tend to use all of it, but people should know that like basmati rice is pre-cooked rice. But I do try to use other things like, you know, millet, barley, wild rice, which is a black food. It's also very traditional and wild harvested. So I think we really need to try different things at different times in our life and see what works for you, rather than like everyone needs to do this. But small thing would be to look at, getting away from the fruit juices and the refined things. Like, let's say you want something sweet. A great thing is like for dessert, stuff a date with almond butter. Like that gives you protein and fat, and it's pretty satisfying. And, you know, maybe you don't have chocolate after every meal. Not that I don't ever eat chocolate. You know, I like sweets as much as anyone, but I want to do the very best dark chocolate. And I do a lot of dates with almond butter too. So thank you.
So what's down the road for you? And down the road, you talked a little bit about books and your other book, but what are the things that are unexplored in your life?
Well, certainly this memoir book that I'm writing, and I'm recording it now. It's pretty much done. It's called Wildflower Child, A Tale of Sex, Psychedelics, and Natural Foods. I also have a phone app called iPlant with Brigitte Mars. So if you have a Android or Apple phone, iPhone, you can download it. iPlant with Brigitte Mars, and it tells you what can you do with lamb's quarter, what can you do with violets. So I'm teaching a lot, and I have apprentices. And if you go to my website, you'll see that I have so many classes, teaching a lot of festivals. BrigitteMars.com. It's spelled BrigitteMars.com. You know, visit my website. I have so many articles and YouTubes, and thank you so much. I feel like I'm a champion for the weeds. I'm going to speak out and try to give people ideas so that we can all participate in what can we do. We might just, you know, it might be 1 yard at a time, but can we create a pollinator habitat? Because, you know, if the bees all die, humanity is in a bad way. I don't want to say a bad word, but you know what I mean? Like, we can't let that happen. And so rather than just mowing and spraying, it's so wrong. And we should be smart enough now. There's been enough stuff in the media. And, you know, thank you for doing shows like this where we do get to elucidate and give people inspiration to live a better way.
So, Brigitte, do you have online classes then? I mean, like to maybe go deeper into the herbs.
I do. I have a class online. If you go to my website, Seven Roots, I have some short little classes, Sacred Self-Care. I'm committed. I'm going to give this my all for the rest of my life. And, you know, I'm past the age of retiring, but I have more energy than ever. So I'm just going to keep doing it until it's over.
Yeah, you just do the next right thing.
Some of us always have failed at retirement. Of course, I take my philosophy of life from the musical, Pippin, being a musical theater director, and the grandmother's talking to Pippin, who's her grandson. I believe if I refuse to grow old, I will stay young till I die. And I think that's an interesting philosophy for life.
I love that. Yes, keep learning your whole life, really. When you start saying things like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, that's like a nail in the coffin, isn't it?
Got me interested in nettles. Everybody always said, stay away from the nettles, stay away from the nettles. And I listened to a lecture you gave on nettles, and I just can't wait to go look in the yard.
maybe your local garden center has nettle plants you can buy. I actually sting my face with nettles as sort of like an herbal facelift. Nettles is good for hair loss, arthritic joints. So the getting stung with nettles is a free, untapped way to remedy yourself.
Well, we're in our final minute here. We want to give you a chance to tell us about your website, upcoming things you have going on, and such.
Well, go to my website and you'll see a list of all my classes. Again, BrigitteMars.com. And there you will find, you know, some YouTubes. I'm really proud of a little video called Lawn Gone, Episode 1. I have one called Psychedelic Ceremony. But I'm really big on TikTok. I'm devoted to getting the word out there. Every day my prayer is like, use me. I'm here to help. Tell me what I can do. So I'm going to keep doing it. And I really thank you for this opportunity to share some of this wisdom at Art on the Air. Blessings to you, Larry and Esther. And thank you so much. And I hope you'll visit the website, sign up, get my newsletter. And there's things that you can do.
Well, we will have a link on our website on your picture. They'll take you to BrigitteMars.com. And we'd like to thank you for coming on Art of the Air and sharing your whole wellness journey, we'll say.
Well, peace and blessings to you and your listeners. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Brigitte. Thank you so much.
My honor.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operation for Lakeshore Public Media, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air. We rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art. Show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world.